WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Christian Bale is an actor who looks very different and acts very differently in almost every movie, and who seems to choose his roles for precisely that reason. He's the latest actor to don the Batman costume in Batman Begins, a film credited with reviving that movie franchise. It's just been released on DVD. Bale also took on the controversial role of the murderous sociopath in the movie version of American Psycho, televised this weekend on cable's USA Network. And in between, he dropped 60 pounds to play a tormented insomniac in The Machinist. Terry talked to Christian Bale earlier this year and started with a scene from Batman Begins. After seeing his parents murdered, Bruce Wayne left Gotham and traveled the world to understand the nature of the criminal mind and to learn martial arts. He returns to Gotham with a plan to fight crime and defend the weak. Here he talks with his faithful butler, played by Michael Caine.
Are you coming back to Gotham for long, sir?
As long as it takes. I'm going to show the people of Gotham their city doesn't belong to the criminals and the corrupt.
In the Depression, your father nearly bankrupted Wayne Enterprises combating poverty. He believed that his example could inspire the wealthy of Gotham to save their city.
Did it?
In a way, their murder shocked the wealthy and the powerful into action.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol, I can be incorruptible. I can be everlasting.
What symbol?
Something elemental, something terrifying.
How about a bat? Christian Bale told Terry he had a very strong opinion of how Batman should be portrayed.
What was your idea of how Batman should be portrayed?
He had become, unbeknownst to me, because I was not a comic book fan, he had become a spoof of what Bob Kane had originally intended when he created Batman back in 1939. He was a dark and threatening superhero. He was always the superhero that, in sitting around a table hanging out with other superheroes, would definitely be the one that the others were kind of looking at sideways and being a little unsure about how quite he got into their group. He also has, obviously, no superhuman powers. The only power that he does have, which is substantial in this world, is enormous wealth, which allows him the time and access to all of the gadgets and the abilities to do what he does. But essentially, what I found in the graphic novels, and there's a great foreword, and I believe it's in Batman Year One by Frank Miller, and it talks about his first experience with Batman, and that to him, Batman was never funny. Batman was dark. And that's really what we've attempted here.
Right before you did Batman, you started in the movie The Machinist, which a film I really liked, and I thought it was a great performance that you gave in that.
Thank you very much.
It was a real nightmarish vision. You play somebody who hasn't slept in a year, and your body is totally emaciated. You're wasted in it, and you're having these delusions, these hallucinations through the movie, and the movie's in black and white, which is the kind of emotional world you're living in. I mean, everything's been drained of life and color, and you're going over the deep end in it. You lost how many pounds for this role?
It ended up being 63 pounds I lost for it.
And I should say that you look like somebody who just got out of a concentration camp or the survivor of a famine in Africa. I mean, you basically have a rib cage and skin.
Yeah, right.
Going that from Batman, you were really pumped up in Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your arms, man, they are the size of a lot of people's waists.
Right.
Did you audition as your machinist self for Batman?
Well, that was a conversation that Chris Nolan and I had. We were talking on the telephone whilst I was making The Machinist, and he said to me that I was going to have to screen test for Batman. At the end of July, and this would have been 2003, I weighed 121 pounds. My normal weight averages about 185, 190. And in the first week of September, they had screen tests for Batman planned. So he asked me, well, how did I look? You know, I mean, how was he ever going to be able to convince the studio that I was the man for the job when I was going to be rail thin? So I really stuffed my face a great deal in those 5-6 weeks and, you know, managed to get by with the test, was cast, but then had a really rigorous, very arduous training period to prepare for Batman, because like we said, this is one without superhuman powers. He must look capable of doing all that he does, and this Batman is grounded in much more reality than any of the previous Batman movies, so we really wanted it to be, you know, recognizably believable that he could be a truly good and experienced fighter.
So what's it like to be in the bat suit? I mean, first of all, as an actor, you kind of lose your face as a tool,
right?
Because it's covered
by
the mask. You
have your eyes, though. You know, you have your eyes with this. You have your eyes and your mouth, and obviously the body language as well, which I think is so crucial with playing any kind of an outfit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very you know, it is very constricting. The cowl certainly is extremely tight, you know, as it must be. And I did find myself having pretty splitting headaches after 2 or 3 hours within it. But, you know, I'd chosen to play the role. I wasn't going to be complaining about it. And I chose instead to kind of use that because I saw Batman, the creature, as being somebody who would probably have a very focused and intense headache that would be putting me in quite a rage and quite a mood. So I just used it.
We've talked a little bit about how you lost a lot of weight for The Insomniac Machinist, your previous movie. You put on weight and pumped up for Batman. And in another earlier movie, American Psycho, you had the kind of muscles that a real narcissist might have, somebody who
who
pumps up because of the way it looks, not because he necessarily
needs
strength.
Well, thank you for recognizing the difference in that, because absolutely, with American Psycho, it was all about the vanity, the narcissism. It was nothing to do with health, really.
Why'd you take the role? You know, the book got such better. The book was just kind of shredded by a lot of critics.
Right.
And then it was criticized by a lot of people for moral reasons, because your character is such a sociopath. So why did you want to jump into this one?
I had not read the book before reading the script. And I was anticipating, because I had been aware of the controversy surrounding the book, and I had read I'd read maybe a couple of pages of it. I was expecting something very different from the script. And what I found is that I may well have a peculiar sense of humor, but that I was crying with laughter in reading the script. Because to me, the character of Patrick Bateman was always an absolutely ridiculous one. You know, he's laughable. And to me, it was never really a movie about a serial killer. That was this extreme that Bret Easton Ellis had pushed it to. But really, it was a, you know, a social satire about a yuppie in the 80s. And that was the way that Mary Harron, who wrote the script, had adapted it. And so much of the violence, which is contained in the book in an incredibly graphic manner, is merely suggested in the movie.
There's some voiceovers in American Psycho, and I want to play one of the voiceovers. And this is a scene from early on in which you're enumerating all the wonderful, you know, like lotions and shampoos and things that you have. I mean, you really are the ultimate narcissist in this movie. Here's that voiceover.
I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer, then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion. There is an idea of a Patrick Bateman, some kind of abstraction, but there is no real me, only an entity, something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
No, I think we can hear in that, in this voiceover from American Psycho, you have this perfect, like mid-America, like TV announcer,
right.
kind of voice. You're from Wales.
Yeah.
How did you get that voice? And you have very few traces now, I think, of a Welsh accent.
Well, my voice I can kind of change at will. With every character that I've played, it's very easy just to pick that accent or dialect back up again. And for me specifically right now, I'm talking primarily about Batman Begins, and I feel that he's such an American icon that I chose not to be doing interviews in my full-blown English accent. I felt that it would just be raising too many questions.
Well, really, are you just, you mean you're kind of like performing the interview in a way? Like you're doing it in a voice?
Well, listen, I've played more American characters than I've ever played English, and I tend to maintain whatever accent I'm doing throughout a movie. So in honesty, it's become as natural for me to speak in that way as it is in my, home tongue. So it's just a choice, But yeah, I made the decision that when talking about Batman, I didn't wish to sound English, I realized that he's such a strongly identified American icon that I just didn't want to raise that question.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Christian Bale, speaking with Terry Gross last June. This weekend, USA Network broadcasts his film American Psycho.